Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then the next Sunday after that, Easter, and I call it Resurrection Sunday. And what a wonderful time that will be. So looking forward to that time, and not that we're not looking forward to this time. Thank you guys for the music. If you have found your place in Acts 21, in honor of God's Word, if you can stand, please stand with us and join me. Beginning at verse 1, "Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course we came to Cos, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. Finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with them. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' Now when we had heard these things, both we and those that were from that place pleaded with him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are grateful beyond measure for the opportunity we have to be here today in your house. We're grateful, Lord, for the lives you allowed us to live this past week. And what we have in living today and now as we worship you, Lord, we give to you who we are, our attention, our worship, our devotion, our commitment. And we're open, O Lord God, to hear from you through your word and your Holy Spirit. So speak, and may we give not only attention, but also our hearts and will to you, to obey and do as you desire for us to do in response to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And I'm going to pick up from there and share a few more verses with you. Verse 15. "And after those days we packed and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain nation of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the disciples were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail these things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who believed who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children or walk according to the customs. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them, and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and they all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. We'll pick up there in just a few minutes and go further with that in the process of my message. It's interesting that today we are in the midst of what is called March Madness. March Madness. I'm not going to mention what has already taken place in the games of the March Madness and all. But suffice it to say that that the teams that are playing are good teams and good coaches. And the winners stand out far above those losers. And you don't hear much about those who've lost, even though they are top-notch themselves. But the point of my rambling here is to say, you know, I got to give it the state. I cannot hardly believe that they have the energy to finish that game last night, but it was good. I am a Tar Heel fan, in case you have not discerned that yet. But I got to give it to our neighbors and friends that State did good. It is truly, and I'm truthful with this, it's good to see them back. And although somebody made the statement to me that not long ago that the coach needed to be fired, I won't say who that was, Ted. But when we prepare for different things in life, we try to get ready. If we're going on vacation, we pack clothes. We pack what we're going to take with us, and we try to be ready at a certain point in time. We probably set down the time in which to be prepared to leave, to drive out of the driveway. So we get prepared. Let's say we pack and do all that. When we get ready to graduate, we want to know that everything is lined up and everything is ready. And usually we don't have to ask. The registrar will let us know if we've made it to that point to graduate. And so then we can get prepared for that. What we are going to be looking at today is we're going to be looking at getting ready, being ready. Not getting ready, but being ready. Because there is a time in which Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes, there won't be time to get ready. So that's why we seek to insist. That's why we plead. That's why we even beg for people to get saved today. And if they have reservation, if they have question, if they're having doubts about their salvation, take care of that. Get that taken care of today. Be ready, because Jesus is coming back. In this particular case, the Apostle Paul and his companions that were traveling with him were prepared for whatever they were going to face. We've seen that in the reading already thus far in this 21st chapter of the book of Acts. Paul says, I'm ready. So regardless of what was going to happen to him, even though he may not have known, he was reminded of what perhaps was going to happen to him. But he said he was prepared. He had counted the cost. In chapter 20 of Acts, he counted the cost. He had made a commitment of his life. He had made a tremendous preparation and worth of his life that it was not worth what Christ had paid for his life in Romans 8. He considered everything that he had gone through up to that point, and he had considered everything that he might go through from that point as nothing compared to what Christ had already done for him. It was insignificant compared to the glory that would be revealed in him in that day that Jesus returned. We are living, I believe, in the last days. We're living in a time when everything around us, everything that we've talked about, everything that we've looked at, everything that we see, if we look with open eyes and heart of what the Lord has said to us, we cannot believe anything but that the time is drawing near for Jesus to return. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is what your life is today, is what you're going through today, is what you are experiencing today worth everything that Christ Jesus done in laying down his life and rising again for you? And that's what we want to look at and compare with the Apostle Paul, because many of us will probably go through some of what Paul went through. So follow with me as we look at being ready. I want us to see in verses 1 through 14 of chapter 21 that we need to be ready when we are warned by those around us not to, or to shh, be quiet, or keep it to yourself. Be ready when you are warned by those around you. Now, we have many friends. Many of us have many contacts and et cetera. And many care about us enough to where they would say to us, now look, when you go there, if you go there, don't say this, don't talk about that, don't do this, be quiet. They warn us ahead of time of the possibilities that are there. Be ready when followers tell you not to and when friends plead with you not to go. Look at verse 12. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Well, we know that Paul was on his way to Jerusalem. He wanted to get there by the day of Pentecost. He wanted to be there because that special day and that special time of worshiping the Lord Jesus. He had already been through many denials, many blows and beatings and shipwreck and so much else. He had already laid his life down in several situations. Now those that he was with pleaded with him. They gave of themselves to beg him not to go to Jerusalem. Don't go there because your life is going to be possibly snuffed out. Acts 21 verse 4 does not use the Greek negative, ow. And finding disciples, look at verse 4, and finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. So that was at least twice we've seen they've told Paul not to go up to Jerusalem because of what may happen to him. Where one thinks a thing is not, another may think a thing is. The Apostle Paul was looking at what had already happened to him. He was looking at what he was doing, where he was, and he was looking at going forward. Paul never thought about stopping. He never thought about giving up the battle, the fight, or the opportunity to share the gospel with people. Even Agabus did not forbid Paul to go to Jerusalem. He only told him what to expect when he got there. And so if we look at what we've talked about here and what we've read about here, they begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Paul answered in verse 13, what do you mean by weeping and you're breaking my heart? I am ready. I'm ready not only to be bound, not only to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased and simply said, the will of the Lord be done. My friend, there's coming a time, there's coming a day when you and I are going to stand challenged and when we will be challenged for the cause of Christ by the world, and in many cases the world's already challenging us to give up being a Christian and to forsake being a Christian or just shut up and keep silent. We don't want to hear it. And yet we must determine whether or not we're ready to continue to be what Jesus wants us to be, his witnesses in our world. Paul had devoted a good deal of his time and years on this third missionary journey. He was taking a love gift to the Jews in Judea, which was a practical way of sharing with them in their suffering, to see that they, believers, Christians, were not unaware of what they were going through, the Jews, in suffering, but willing to help and love them and have compassion towards them. And he felt this gift would do so, would help them to know the difference. There was a constant threat of division among the church members. The world wants to mold us and to shape us into its likeness. The world wants to take us from what we are and teach us and train us and wants us to be what they want us to be. But friends, we can't give in to that without giving in to the Lord God. Our stand, our testimony, our witness is at stake if we do. Paul began to get this message from the followers that he was with and his companions that he was traveling with, and everyone was concerned about Paul and what was going to happen to him and what possibly would happen to him if he went to Jerusalem. And that entire believers kept on saying to him that he should not set foot in Jerusalem. But Paul said he was ready. He was ready. I'm ready to die. I'm ready for whatever happens for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready when the political system of this world comes at you and says you can be of one sort, one kind, but you can't another? And you certainly can't be a Christian. And you can't proclaim the name of Christ. Are you ready? for that day? Are you ready to stand for Jesus in that day? You say, "Oh, Pastor Don, you're really pushing this thing." Really? Really? Well, it may not happen tomorrow. But if you will look at our political system and judge it from 20 years ago, just 20 years ago, you'll see how far we've moved from the Lord Jesus and how far our politics wants to keep Christianity out of it. If you want to see that Pastor Don's not as foolish as he sounds, I've been called a nut most of my life. But I want to tell you, I am screwed onto the right bolt, even though I might be a nut. Ready, being ready. Be ready when the Spirit warns you that foes will hurt you. In verses 10 and 11 of our passage, "And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he came down, he took Paul's belt, bound his hands and feet, said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentile.'" Agabus gave him a picture, a perfect picture of what was going to happen to Paul by the Gentiles. Now, you got to understand, Paul was a Jew, but he was also a Gentile. You got to understand that Paul knew the inner workings of the Jewish tradition and the Jewish teachings. But he also knew Jesus Christ. If you go back to the Apostle Paul's life, Paul was one who struggled against the church. He sought to kill those, to have murdered those who were of the faith of Jesus Christ, to arrest them, carry them back to Jerusalem to be tried and killed before he came to know Jesus Christ. Since Jesus Christ, that same zeal that he had against the church and against Christ to begin with, he had for Christ and for the church afterwards. So the Apostle Paul was no just Johnny come lately. Paul knew what was possibly going to happen to him. But Paul said, "I am ready." No matter who says, no matter who tells me, no matter who warns me, I'm ready to face whatever comes. Be ready. Be ready because it's coming. It may not come in your lifetime, but it's coming. Be ready. Be ready when you're misunderstood. Look at verses 15 and following. "And after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children or to walk according to the customs.'" I want to stop right there for just a moment. because I want to give you this scenario as it is. This is a scenario and how it goes. Paul has come into the group, the crowd, and they've gathered together, you know, and so here it begins. Paul, have you heard so and so and so and so? Paul, have you heard? This is what we have heard, that they have been informed about you. They've been told this about you. This is what you believe. This is what you teach. This is what you do. They've been informed. Paul, did you know that? Now, what does that sound like to you? What? Church, did somebody say church gossip? Church gossip. We don't do that, do we? You don't do that, do you? That's exactly what it is. Look again at verse 19. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And they said, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews and who have believed, and they're all zealous for the law. But they've been informed about you. They've heard about you. You teach the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Be ready when you're misunderstood. Be ready when rumors spread about you. Here we have legalists that are working behind the scenes. Paul finishes his report, and then the elders begin to tell him what they've heard, others have heard. The gossip machine has been running. It's well been said that though a rumor doesn't have a leg to stand on, it travels mighty fast. And that is so true. Have you ever taken notice how bad news travels faster than good news? Once in a while, it's good once in a while to see a news program that tells good news instead of bad news. What Paul's enemies were saying were not true at all. And what was misunderstood about the Apostle Paul was understood that those who complained and those who spread it basically were the ones who were doing it. And that holds true even today. Paul did warn the Gentiles not to get involved in the old Jewish religion in Galatians 4. But nowhere did he tell the Jews that it was wrong for them to practice their customs as long as they didn't trust in ceremony or make their custom a test of fellowship, Romans 14. The Apostle Paul stood on the Word of God. The Apostle Paul stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was the preeminent example for you and me in our day and time. So, are you ready when people misunderstand you? When people don't get the picture? Are you ready? And are you ready when people discuss what they ought to do with you? This is a funny, at least it is to me. I've never been where people want to tell me what they want to do with me. I've always been behind the scenes. I mean, it's always been behind the scenes, and I've always been unaware of it most of the time. when people want to discuss what they want to do with me. And you know, there are quote unquote secret meetings. You ever been a party of a secret meeting? That's a most interesting. Look at verse 22. What then the assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. They will certainly meet. The assembly must meet. People want to discuss what to do with you. You need to be ready for that time, because there's coming a time when that's going to happen. Be ready when the assumptions are made about you. Look at verse 29. For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Some Jews from Asia came down and they saw Paul in the temple. Paul had Gentile friends. Paul had Gentile companions with him. So they just assumed that because the Apostle Paul was in the temple, that those same Gentiles were in the temple with him. And so the temple would be defiled and they would be defiled as well. So he had polluted the sanctuary, the sacred building. You know, it's interesting. Wherever he went, Paul always had Gentile friends, followers. And Paul always went to the temple first, and then to the town, usually afterwards. But Paul never did anything to desecrate the Jewish practices, customs, and never told people that we come out of it, you need to come out of it and stop going to it and don't follow the customs. He simply told them what the scriptures said, what Jesus said, taught them what Jesus said. He was seeking to make them followers of Jesus, not followers of Paul. So you have to be ready when you are talked about and discussed in the secret meetings, and be ready when assumptions about you are made and none of it being true. Be ready when it seems you're in the enemy's grip. Look at verses 30 through 40, and we'll conclude with this. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. As they were seeking to kill Paul, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions, ran into them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. See, they already had Paul in their grip. They were already beating him and were going to beat him to death. Verse 33, then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and he asked who he was and what he had done. Some among the multitude cried one thing, some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after crying out, "Away with him! Away with him!" They wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to shut him down. There's coming a day like that, my friend. There's coming a day like that. You may feel you are in the enemy's grip, as the Apostle Paul was in the enemy's grip. There may come a time when you may seem like, feel like, that you are in the enemy's grip. But remember what Max Lucado said. You're really in the grip of grace. Remember to be ready when you are seized and arrested. Paul was seized and arrested and was being beaten when the commander of the garrison saw him, came and rescued him. Remember to be ready when your death seems imminent. Look at verse 31. As they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison and to all, that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. You remember back that the Apostle Paul said in verse 13, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul did not make it a claim of life that what Jesus had done to him and for him. He simply said, I am even ready to die for the name of Christ. He had such a sense about him of what Christ was to him, what to him, what he, not only what he had done for him, but what he meant. He loved Jesus so much, he was ready to lay down his life for Jesus. He was ready to die for Jesus. He was ready to live for Jesus as well. But he was ready to die for the name of Christ, the name of the Lord Jesus. And he would not be persuaded otherwise. Are you ready? Are you ready? We cannot plead ignorance of the fact that today we are being warned to be ready. Now, what does this have to do with the transitional aspect of Corinth Baptist Church? Because if you're not ready to die for Jesus today, how do you expect to draw people and win people to Jesus if they don't see your life representative of His life and willing to lay down your life like Paul? Are you ready? It took the captain great time to get the mob under control. And finally, he did. Look at verse 37 following. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" He replied, "Can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a rebellion and led 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean or no ordinary city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." The captain had already assumed who Paul was, an assassin that had come there to destroy the city and people in the city. So he had misunderstood as well who and what Paul was and what Paul was doing there. And now the Apostle Paul wanted to speak again to the people who tried to kill him, who had already beaten him. Paul had not given up. He was not giving up. And he would not be silent. So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And he goes on speaking, giving his defense to the people. What they had not heard him say, what they had accused him of, and were beating him for, he was giving a defense of afterwards. Kind of crazy, isn't it? Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't stop. He wasn't quiet. He kept on because he was ready. There's another man like him who wouldn't be silenced, who wouldn't be quiet, who kept on. And he kept on. And he kept on. So much so that the religious leaders of his day committed him to be crucified. Away with him, away with him, crucify, crucify. That's what they said of Paul. Away with him, away with him. But Paul was ready. Jesus was ready, and they did crucify him, who was innocent. But who let them scourge him, beat him beyond recognition, plait a crown of thorns upon his brow, piercing skin, crucify him, drive nails in his hands and feet, and finally, hanging on a tree, crying, "It's finished," piercing his side. People don't listen, do they? But are you listening today? Are you ready? Bow with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one moving around, no other thoughts, if you can. Think about what we've talked about today. Are you ready? Are you ready? None of us know exactly what's going to take place in the next few years. But I can tell you this, Jesus' return is more nearer today than it has ever been. Are you ready? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to think with me for just a moment. And this will be the invitation. No music, no moving around. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know who Jesus is. But I will tell you, he's the greatest man that's ever lived. He is 100% God, 100% man, the God-man who came here, laid down his life on the cross to pay our sin debt, your sin debt, my sin debt. We couldn't pay it. We can't pay it. We can't do enough to earn it. We must trust Jesus Christ, place our faith in him, and trust what he did on the cross sufficiently is enough to satisfy the Lord God for our sins. And in doing that, placing our faith and trust in Jesus, he forgives us, he cleanses us, and gives us forgiveness and life anew. So that if death comes today, if Jesus comes back today, if you've trusted him as Lord and Savior, you're ready to meet him. And you can be ready to face whatever this world throws at you as well. Don't leave here today without Jesus. Christian, man, praise God, thank him, just bless his name for his grace that we can never earn. We can't buy it. God gives it. Bless him and praise him and worship him the rest of the days of our lives. I just want us to be quiet to give you that opportunity to trust Jesus. And Christian, to pray for others to trust Jesus.